I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's one of the things I think most people struggle with, time management. Julie Morgenstern is the founder of Time Leadership. She's a New York Times bestseller. And what you've done is basically figured out how in the world to manage time when you only have 24 hours in a day.
Okay, so Julie, you're going to move into my house, right? Because more and more lately, Anna, I have been thinking about time wasted and how not to do that and to make the most of it. It's the one thing we can't get back.
Yeah, and using the time well. I think it's really about using time intentionally, what's most important to me, and make sure that that's what you fill your days with, rather than, I think, people try to take care of all the have-tos and don't get to the want-tos. And I think when you flip that, you get the energy and actually time back, because when you're doing the things that are meaningful and satisfying, it gives you more energy and you're more efficient.
How insightful.
Yeah.
But how? How do you do that? I feel like by the time I get home and I do school pickup and I unpack the lunch and I pack the lunch and I make the dinner and I get it on the table, the next thing you know, it's bedtime.
Yeah.
And now it's the frantic getting the kids to bed. And did you brush your teeth? And where are your pajamas? And I told you to get ready 10 minutes ago. Like, how can you do that? Is there actual steps to figure this all out?
There are. I mean, it's a big topic, but let's zero in on a few. The reality is when you are raising kids, those years are the busiest years of a human's life. Endless cooking, cleaning, planning, childcare, relationship stuff to do. And you work. So many parents, most parents work. And if they don't work, they're so busy trying to keep up with running the household. There's two principles that I'm just going to start with. One is, when you are so busy, it's really important to periodically step away from the chaos and look at your systems and redo your systems, especially when you're raising kids, because things change so rapidly. If you're feeling overwhelmed, pull back, sit down with the other adults and any kid who's maybe over five in the house and lay out what is everything that it takes to run this house and write it all down and divvy it up and reallocate the labor. I think it's the biggest blind spot in families. People don't talk about it. Everybody just gravitates toward, I don't know, whatever they notice or whatever they feel they're good at, or maybe what they were, quote, assigned. But everything that happens in a house is not one person's job or two people's job. It's the family's job. Reallocate, redivide, restreamline as a team. Ultimately, one thing that is most important is time for relationships and time for self. Everything else is delegatable and dividable.
I think, Julie, it makes so much sense that people so often they get stuck in their patterns there and they just go, well, that's the way it's always been done, right? And there's always a better way. Stepping back and looking at yourself over that and saying, how can I manage this differently or whatever? What compromises can be made? Where else can I place that? That's smart.
Exactly. I mean, I had a woman years ago who was a working mom, married, two kids that were, I think, 9 and 11. She had a big job in a bank. And every single day she would come home from work. She'd pick up all the clutter from the day, sweep and mop the floor, cook dinner, serve dinner, clean up. And I asked her two questions. I said, one, why do you mop the floor every day?
Mm. Right. Valid question. Yeah.
Since she was like, well, that's what my mother always did. It's just like we just do things by habit or what we learned or observed. So it really helps. And the other question I asked her is, you know, where's her husband and her kids and all this? And it was the same thing. She'd absorbed this identity that as a woman, she should take care of everything. They'd rather sit down and enjoy dinner with her than have her running around.
Time management at home is certainly important, but what if you have to go to work every day? How do you juggle all the things going on there? That's coming up next. You're at work, you have 700 things to do, and the next thing you know, you look up and you have to run out the door because it's school pickup time.
All that while, your regular life is on your mind too.
Julie Morgenstern is the founder of Time Leadership. We talked about the dynamics of the home time management, which is huge, but I know that you work with a lot of companies and individuals to talk about productivity at work. I know some people say their workday goes by slow, but I walk in here and I blink and I am rushing out of here to get home to the kids. So when you're at work and you're trying to manage your time, any tips for that?
So first of all, remember your day is just, it's a container. I like to compare time, organizing time to organizing space because they're so similar. If you think of like a cluttered closet and a cluttered schedule are almost identical. It's crammed with more than you can fit and you're shoving things into any available pocket of space or time in no particular order. That kind of haphazard shoving tasks anywhere in your day, you're like, you have your to-do list and then you think of something and you shove it in and then someone asks you, do you have a minute? And you don't, but you stop what you're doing and you shove it in. In your workday, what I suggest is figure out what's the size of the container of your day. Are you working an 8-hour day? I know people that work 10-hour days and they didn't stop for a second and they didn't get through everything. What's the container of your day and what are the big categories of stuff you have to balance your time between? You know, depending on your job, there's usually some heads down time, focus time, people interaction or people management time, some administrative time. And if you kind of create a little rhythm to your day, it helps you stay focused in the moment and you're more efficient when you're fully focused than when you're doing one thing and thinking about three others. And then you kind of work more sequentially through your day.
I'm a big fan of checklists. Like I have a list, I make the list and I go down the list. And I sometimes get too obsessed with it, but that's how I keep my sanity.
Yeah. I mean,
is that normal?
Keep you on point.
And
then it gives
focused.
You a little gold star, right? Like you feel like every time you do it, you're like, yay.
I think it's excellent because if you try to keep it in your head, you know, you worry, am I forgetting something? You're distracted. By having your list keeps you fully present and focused and you just can work sequentially. Here's another thing that might resonate for people. A to-do, any to-do that we have to do that doesn't get connected to a when you're going to do it, which day or what time is very unlikely to get done. So your to-dos have to be connected to a day. That's what you're doing, Anna. Yep. I have people who have like master to-do lists and they never look at it. It's more like a mental inventory of everything in their heads. It sort of releases the pressure of trying to remember, but they don't use it as an action planner.
Right. It's like they've absolved themselves of the stress of it. Right.
Yeah.
So then, but
if you had
a daily point of action, these are things I'm doing today, that kind of thing, you do get more done.
Changes everything, right?
Yeah.
And
I don't know if this is maybe you could tell me because you're a pro, you can deal with the psychological aspects of it, but I know people that use lists on their phones. I cannot do that.
No.
I need to handwrite my list and I need to physically have my list in hand in my pocket and cross things off as I go.
You know, there is science to back up what you're doing. So many studies have shown that what we write down, pen or pencil to paper, gets emblazoned on our memories and it sticks. Like we remember it more than things we read on a screen.
Oh, good.
It
makes
me
feel better.
More seriously.
Yeah. Julie, I don't know if anybody's ever told you this, but your voice is so soothing. I was so stressed before we started doing this, and now I'm so calm. I'm like, all right, let me get back to my list. Great job. Yeah. Interview with Julie Morgenstern. Check. Got that done.
Well, let's get her off before then she takes over.
All right. If you want to learn more about Julie, all the books that she has written, hire her for your company. You can go to her website, juliemorgenstern.com. Thank you so much, Julie.
It's great to speak with you both.